Okay, we continue the Rambam Hilchos Paraduma Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11, Halacha Hey. Continuing with describing the various shoots of the hyssop that you're going to sprinkle the person with. So certain types of hyssop blades are not allowed.
Oh no.
Ein mazin. Again, I don't have the exact mamish. Even with your pictures, Martin, I don't have the exact picture in my mind, but you can't sprinkle lo biyonkos with unripe stalks of ha'ezov. Okay. It doesn't explain any more. We're going to explain it in a minute. The lo batamros, and that with the buds and the shells of the shoots. In other words, it's not as developed. It's got to be an actual stalk. Now, what is yonkos? So he said, give olim stalks shalo gamelu. Literally means they're not weaned, but it means they're not fully developed. Okay, it means they're very soft. I guess the hyssop is the stalks at the tips are kind of firm. So it's kind of very soft, so that you should not use it. And the other one is, it seems that there's like type of a shell over a bud that should come off for it to get more developed.
Well,
I'm not exactly sure.
You see, they flower. Remember I showed you the first commercial flowers.
Maybe these are just the buds.
What's the final product? Flowers or not flowers?
What?
Flowers, yes. Oh, you mean the flowers fall off and then you still have a hyssop branch? Possibly.
In other words, the commentary says, Kis Shabozer, it's a pocket that the seed is in. So I don't know what that means, a pocket. Some kind of covering to it. I don't know exactly what that is. I don't know the full development of the hyssop. So I plead ignorance. Anyway, be that as it may, you can't do it. But what if you did with those kinds? So Umish Uzal Bayonkos, if you use those soft, undeveloped ones, and the guy was sprinkled with it, shouldn't have done it. Bidiyeved, it's okay to the extent if, let's say, Vinikas Mingus, now he went into the Beis Hamikdash afterwards. He thought it was a good sprinkling.
Oh,
now he goes and Mingus, let's say, Beshogeg, would he have to bring a chattas? Bemezi, would he get lashed if he was warned? So we say that even at that, say, Doraisa, they're okay. Only rabbinically we say you'd have to redo it. So therefore, after the fact, to be okay. However, in the case of Tamros, where the buds are covering it, Ram doesn't say, but the Forshim say, even B'dievet, it's not good. Okay, fine. Now, when should you... So these are stages before the Ezov is fully developed. These are two stages. So now we say, Umeyei Masai Mazina. So when do you use the Ezov exactly? Mishanev Mishayonets, when they're fully developed and they have a brittle top. That's what it's a harder top. That's what is it. Fine. That's the end of that little topic. Now, guess what? The Ezov Shehuz Bemineda. So let's say I took this thing and I sprinkled it on a person's tummy. I can turn around and this exact same is good for Kosher Lataris Mitzorah. I can use it to purify Mitzorah. It's exactly the same thing. So theoretically, I could have a tummy mace here and a mitzvah here, and I can go punk, punk. Okay, and that's
without dipping,
fine.
Without redipping.
That's what it seems. It seems what he's saying. Call eight. Now, next point. Now, there seems to be different species of hyssop. It's not just one old fashioned hyssop. So call eight of sheresh for shame levi. Any hyssop that has an accompanying name to it, as we'll explain in a minute, posel is unfit, period. The ace of shikarinos, the ace of beyichud, but only a hyssop that is specifically called hyssop, period. Huat kosher, that's the kosher one. And what is the regular, conventional hyssop, period? For ace of shaokhanos abathim, it's the edible variety. So now go look, how many different varieties of hyssop are there? There is a variety that people would eat the hyssop. Human beings would eat it. That's the... What?
It's popular now. It's some herb... It says, home herb gardeners are growing hyssop For its dark green leaves, which are used to flavor salads, soups.
Okay, there it is. So that's the kind of hyssop you want to use.
Attractive plants have woody stems, small pointed leaves, and spikes of pink.
So you got a picture of that? You got a picture, Martin? You got a picture of that? Would be nice.
Okay.
Okay. Well, zesh according to the A's of Yavon. What about the ones that are called Greek hyssop, or the A's of Kochlis? Seems like blue hyssop. The A's of Ibora, wild hyssop. That's hyssop with another accompanying name, Puzzle. That's not good hyssop. So you see, there's different varieties of hyssop. Okay. Now another simple technical point. What if, let's say, you take some hyssop and you bow down to it as an idol? You worship the hyssop. Okay, so now we know there's certain situations are various that cause the halacha is you have to destroy them.
Yeah.
So if they have to be destroyed, it's like they don't have a shear. It's like they don't exist.
Right, yeah.
Even though you see them in front of your face, but they got to be destroyed. So the number of conditions that render, even though it's of the right species, but something was done to it, that renders it halachically without
even
any...
Even if it wasn't by you that it was done.
It doesn't matter. It's now usher.
Right.
For example, Azov shel Asherah. Azov that was worshipped as an Asherah idol, which needs to get destroyed. V'shel ir anidachas, or let's say a city that has gone to idol worship, where everything's got to be destroyed. Everything, even the hyssop in there. V'shel avodah zarah, or a hyssop used for avodah zarah. V'shel truma tmei, or let's say it was hyssop truma, because remember it's an eatable food. What if you're growing a lot into it? It was truma, and it become tamei. What's halacha when it's tamei? You got to burn it, right? Because remember, at psula, they're all pasul, because they don't have the shear. Okay, now shel truma tahora. What if it's truma tahora? What, you had some hyssop, you made truma out of it. You can't use it either for lo yasi. You can't sprinkle with it. But we're going to see if he's okay. But if he ever uses it, it's okay. So what's the problem? If you're going to take this as truma. Truma is supposed to be eaten. What do you do? You're dipping it into water. What's that going to do in terms of being able to eat it afterwards? It's going to get soggy.
Yeah.
And you can't eat it. And you're not allowed to damage truma. Can't take truma and wreck it. So you're effectively wrecking it. Also, you're doing another thing. You're letting the makabel tuma now, as we'll see in a minute. When vegetation hits water, it's makabel tuma. Even though it doesn't have any tuma yet, but that's a stringency. We know there's a lot of stringencies by para aduma that we normally wouldn't apply anywhere else. But we can't have something that's ready to be makabel tuma if it's not makabel tuma. So therefore, you can't use that, especially since it is truma dik. So that means... can only be truma if you associate it with direct eating. As we'll now get into more detail in Lafa Zion, what was the purpose for you harvesting the azov will determine if you can use the azov at all, as we'll see in Lafa Zion. Azov shalito leitzim. Let's say you pick the... now, you can certainly... the best thing is pick some azov for paraduma. That's the simplest thing. You got no problems. But you didn't. So let's say you pick the azov initially. Shalito leitzim, you want to use it for firewood. Okay, because I guess if you let it hang around long enough, it gets hard.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a mind to eat it, right? But I use for firewood, and if it's something for firewood, it's never makabel tuma. Firewood is not makabel tuma. So you pick the azov initially for firewood, so it's not makabel tuma. And now some liquid fell on it. Well, once liquid falls, it doesn't mean anything, because it's not considered food. It's not even mukshur to be makabel tuma.
Right.
So I do as menagvo, just dry it. The reason you have to dry it, because you can't have any other liquid on it when we're going to be pouring in, dipping it into another one, because other liquid makes it bad. Now this hyssop is okay for sprinkling purposes. It's not makabel tuma at all. Not even roi to have makabel tuma. And now you're going to shift it from firewood use for paraduma use. So you could use it.
You can change the use. You can't say it wasn't intended.
Yeah, because you don't.
Edible.
When you pick it, you don't have to have the kavanah on it.
But it wasn't edible when you made it.
It's
for
not
firewood.
Using it for firewood, so it's not makabel tuma. It's not makabel tuma. It's the right species, but your intention is for firewood and not for eating. What if, on the other hand, Liktulachim, you picked it for eating?
Right.
Okay, now you got a problem, because now it makes it a food. It's roli to be makabel tuma if liquid gets on it, and that's already going to be an extra stringency to be a problem. All right, for nafal mashkin, look at falls. I think afal piece, even though you dry it, pasul shreinit malazoya, it's no longer good for azoya. Why? Because here's the stringency. She call a mashkin va'ochlim v'chol akelim, any liquids, food, or utensils that have not been carefully watched. Harev kitmeim lichas, we consider them even though they're not. So tamei for the paradumakosh, as we not have explained, but rather will explain later on in chapter 13. Something like that. Mm. Now, what if likto lachatos? What if you picked it specifically for sprinkling on a paraduma, which is the way you're supposed to do it? Harehen kinilkulei, just like picking it for firewood, and therefore there's no problem. The mnafa of mashkin liquid falls, and then again, menagvi, you still have to dry it. Umazabo, and you may sprinkle with it. Okay, that ends chapter 11. So now we move on to chapter 12. We're going to discuss now. So now we've got the hyssop. We're okay with the hyssop. We've defined exactly what the hyssop has to look like. So the next step is you're going to dip it in. We've already explained everything about dipping. Now you're going to sprinkle it. Here's the question now. How much water and what kind of contact must it come into the person's tummy to make him tar? We're now going to discuss that contact issues. Contact issues is the name of this chapter. So Aleph is pretty straightforward. Adam shenitma b'meis, a person is tummy meis, v'hi's olav, and you sprinkled on him, everything's fine. Kevin shenaga kol shahu mimei, I need of any amount, a drop, a drippity drop.
A droplet.
Bechol makom may or and it touches any part of his flesh. One drop on his flesh, shel tummy, also zoya, the sprinkling is good. That's it, even one little drop. I feel enough lahaza al rosha etzpo, even if it drops on your little finger, or rosha's on your lip, which is kind of external, very external. But here's an interesting one: of only naga b'lashon, but if it touches your tongue, ain't a klum, it's nothing, because interestingly, even though it has tuma regarding other aspects. In other areas of tuma, the tongue is considered a revealed part. Remember, you only can be makabel tuma if an external organ has the tuma, not internal organs. So, question is, what's a tongue? So, to be makabel tuma, it's the tongue is considered an external organ. You stick out your tongue, and you lick a dead person. Okay, you're makabel tuma. It's considered an external organ. But when the water of the sprinkling comes onto the tongue, then it's considered an internal organ. I don't know why, but that's how it's so. As we explained, okay. So okay.
But he's the same.
He doesn't talk about that. Anum kevarim shabagol. I guess a tooth is for sure an inside one, I think. Anum kevarim shabagol. It's not because an external organ. Linian hazoid tefillah for sprinkling and mikvah. Similarly, v'chein kli, a utensil, shenitma b'meis, that became tamei meis, you have to sprinkle that too. V'izolob, and you sprinkle on the kli. Kevin shkia l'gufa shal kli, if it touches any part of the kli, kol shemei need even a drop. Also, Zoya, it's fine and dandy. That's the straight Pashut halacha.
So, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because it may be giving the answer ahead, so you can let me know and I'll wait.
Sure.
What is there a special sprinkling garment you should wear when you're going to be receiving sprinkling?
Because, I don't know.
Because you'd think that certain garments may cover up a lot of the skin and may make it much more difficult to get
purified. I don't know. But you got to have your body.
Don't wear hazmat suits.
Listen, no. It's got to hit a part of your body, right? If you got to keep on, if it just hits your keep, I guess it won't work.
No.
And listen, the coin can be very close. You can come right up to the person, right up to your...
To the nose.
That's a very curry.
Or right up to your hand, and you can just go, imagine, this is the azole, and just go like this. Boom.
Yeah.
That would be pretty. Yeah. But you never know, because let's say on Pesach, where you got thousands... So the coin's going to tell the family of 36.
36?
Okay, stand in a nice semicircle.
Yeah,
and it's just like one whoosh.
Yeah.
and get everybody, right? So you got to be careful on that. So let's see what's going to happen now. Yeah, so let's look at Beis. Now we have certain cases of a suffix. Shnei Kalim. Okay, let's say you have two utensils, or Shnei Ben Adam, or two people. They both need to get sprinkled. He had in mind, the Kohen figures, immense busy time, he wants a two for one. One sprinkle, stand together, boom, and I got you both, right? He panned on getting both guys, but guess what happened? He didn't. He hit one of them square, and then what happened? He hits one, and then the water ricochets, and v'natfu hamayim, the water drips malarishim from the first alashay and hits the second. It's a rebound. Gets him on the rebound. Harayasheni b'tumasa. The second one remains tame. Anchiliblavamayim mezosamasa. It has to come a direct hit from the original sprinkler. Lomina tamtsis, not which flows away from the initial target. Okay, now what if he's al shnei kalim? What if he sprinkles on two utensils? Then he stop it going, he's not sure. Lo, he's al shneim geechad. If he got both, he sees they're both wet. After the fact, he sees they're both wet. He doesn't know how that happened. Is it because he sprinkled really well, he got both at the same time?
Or,
omechaveiro, nimsover, hit one and it rebounded off the other. Hazayasa psula, the hazoya is possible because it's a suffix, and when a suffix is like this, we have to go to chazaka, and the chazaka is was tame. Yeah. To get out of the chazaka, you can't get out of a chazaka with a suffix.
So you resprinkle,
sure.
Yes, both. Okay, another example: machat hanasuna al hacheresh. Remember where we had this. What was the cheresh over there? A kli cheresh, rather.
Yes.
Here's the thing. When a kli cheresh, this tamei mace, how do you purify it?
You shatter it.
Don't sprinkle it. So let's say, machad shenesuna al cheresh. So let's say there happens to be a needle placed on a kli cheresh, v'hizaleh, and you sprinkled on it. And the question is, the machad, the needle is tamei. And the klicheres is tamei. The needle could use the paraduma water. The klicheres is not going to help. So he sprinkles on that, both. Safik ala machad hiza. Not sure if he hit the needle. Safik ima cheres nim tso elel. He's not sure if he hit the klicheres and then it rebounded off. At the end of the day, they're both wet. But he doesn't know how that happened. Hazayasa psula, the sprinkling is possible. So then the Mefarshim explain what the Chiddush is. Seem to be similar cases. So they give the commentators say what the Chiddush is in each of these different cases, but that's fine for us. Okay, now we have an interesting scenario. How about a piece of kli that's made out of removable parts? It's something that's made out of two parts, and there's sometimes you can separate them or put them together. So now the question is, what's going to be the status? Let's say it's two parts, it's put together, you hit one side of the part, you have to hit the other side of the part.
But is it one or is it two?
Even though they're together now. The together now, is it really cut together or not together? That's the question. Fascinating halacha, and if we can get through the Dalit, I'll be happy. It's a long halacha, but it's easy, very easy. Kalim hamufutsalim, utensils that are made of removable parts. Okay, now obviously when you're doing the work with it, the parts are together. Mm-hmm. When you're doing the actual work, it's going to give you an example in a minute. Shemucharim zela zeba masrim, unless you put it together with nails. So when they're working them, they're connected. And when you don't need them, you separate. Let's say you have to clean it, so you separate it to clean it, whatever. Kigon masrim is like scissors. Scissors are a perfect example. Because the scissors, it's two different pieces.
Yeah, you never separate them, no?
But, well, you could.
Sometimes you do.
Let's say you want to, now, I don't know why lately the scissors my wife buys.
You need to sharpen
them? No, they come apart.
They come apart, you turn the thing and they out.
You just turn, they come apart. I guess you want to clean it in between, you know.
I've never seen that.
It's hard to clean the part that's, you know, that they stay there. But lately, all the scissors she buys, they come apart.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's a good shell prakim. There's two parts over there. I guess when you're cutting, they're together. Then you're finished. You want to clean it's messy. So you cut a chicken with a scissors. You know, a scissors chicken. A chicken scissors.
Chicken scissors.
Right? So then it gets that goop. But yeah. So what about right in between where the like it's together? How do you get into that, right? Ah, you take it apart. You clean it. Very good. Or let's say the Ismail Shalrahitni, or a plane, a carpenter's plane, where it's got the wooden part,
right.
And it's got the metal part, and sometimes you got to separate them. Okay, so anything similar to that. So here's the rule. Fascinating halacha. I don't know why you would do this. But if you sprinkle them, bishas malacha, while you're using them, when you're using them, they obviously are together. So I don't understand. Well, we'll see. I understand it for tumah. Let's say you're using it and a corpse falls on it.
Oh boy.
Let's say the guy scissoring dies.
You give him a haircut and he dies in the chair.
Or the barber dies.
Or the barber dies.
Whatever. Anyway, so you're definitely using it so they can be tummy. Question is, how about if you're using it when you're sprinkling the paraduma on that? That's kind of weird, but that's the case. So anyway, they say it like this. If you're using them, so obviously when you're using them, they are definitely together. There's no question about it. So it's chibur l'tumah. They're considered combined for them to contract tumah if they touch a corpse. Ulazoyin is a connection for the sprinkling to make it tar when you sprinkle. Here's the thing. Remember, a human body, I have 248 principal organs, but I only have to hit one.
Right.
Everything's connected. The hip bone's connected to the thigh bone. The thigh bone's connected to that bone. And they're all connected. Right. So let's say I just hit the earlobe.
It's okay.
But guess what? It's all connected to everything. It's all fine. So unless I got the scissors, and I'm scissoring away while the sprinkling hits one side of the scissor.
So it's an action.
Doesn't matter. It's considered one scissor, and the whole thing is tar. Mm-hmm.
So if it got tummy, what is it, the whole thing?
No, so again, it can become tummy. The whole thing becomes tummy if it's in use when it comes in contact with the dead. The whole thing can be tar if you only hit one side, if it's in use. That's what he's saying.
What about a keychain?
We're going to get to that. How do you like that? That's going to be the end of halacha vav.
Really?
How do you like that? Not tonight, tomorrow. You're going to have to come tomorrow.
Oh,
sorry.
Are you
not
coming tomorrow?
Now I have to come tomorrow?
Okay, now. Okay. Shalom yishag. Let's say you're not working them. Now, it's interesting. It would appear even though they are connected, but you're just not using it. Okay, then ain chibur lo zelza. If you have a regular scissors, a corpse falls on one side of the scissors. It's only the tummy, the one side of the scissor, and not the other side of the scissor. If you're not using scissors, you sprinkle on one side of the scissors. It's only matar one side of the scissor, and not the other side of the scissors. Wow. Kate said, "Let's have an example. All the examples now. Heim lechibur l'tumah. Okay, what does it mean? Connected to get tumah and to be purified." Let's say one side, one part only comes in contact with tuma when you're working it. Nitma sheni, the other part will become. It's as if not because it touched the other side.
It's connected.
But it's touched the corpse. If you only hit one side with the sprinkling, bishas malach, when you're working it, also it's like it was sprinkled on both sides. Kulem guves, like they're one body. Clear. Now, what's the case of Eina Chibur Lo L'Tumah? What's considered not connected, not for Tumah, and not for Azah? Shimnitma Achad Mehem Shalo Bishas Malach. And then they're connected, but you weren't working it. And one side got hit. Lo Nimechore, the other side doesn't become Tumah, even though they're connected. Vinitma Shneim. And what if both sides were ready tummy? For whatever reason, the whole thing was tummy. V'isa alachma, now you sprinkle on one of them when you're not working them. Shalom b'shas malacha. Lo tir chaver. The other one's not Torah. Av v'shem v'lo are connected. V'zel din Torah. That's the biblical law. So far, the biblical law is very clear. If you're working it, even hit one side, the whole thing's tummy, or the whole thing's tar. If you're not working it, even though they're connected, you hit one side, only one side is tame, and only one side is tar. That's the biblical law. Come along the rabbis and they make their gzeirus. Now think now, if you want to make a rabbinic decree now, where would you make the rabbinic decrees? Now, if it hits one side. Now, obviously, when you're working them, there's nothing to make a rabbinic decree. But the question is, well, if you're not working them? So, avol midivrei sofrim, Gazu, they said, Yechibur letuma, afilu shalo bishas malach. They said, when you're not working them, what's the halacha when you're not working them biblically? Hit one side and one side's tame.
Right?
So, what do the rabbis say? To be tame, hit one side, they're both tame. Even when you're not working it. Why? There a decree, Mishum Shasma, because when you are working it, well, they have to both be tummy. In other words, if a corpse falls on one side of the scissors, you know, biblically only that side should be tummy, but people confuse that with when you're working it and think only one side was tummy.
Right.
So therefore, to be machmir, we're going to say even you weren't working it, even though biblically only one side should be tummy, they're going to make both sides tummy. Yeah, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Xera the decree mishum shas malach, because maybe you're when you're working at it. Ula olam im naga ba'achmem tuma nimachaver. So comes it always, rabbinically at least, you hit one side, the other side's tamei. Sometimes rabbinic, sometimes biblical. V'chein gazer alem, they also made a decree shal yichib alazer. We don't connect them for sprinkling afilu bishas malach. Even when you're working it, where it should work. Yeah. You hit one side, hits the other. But what's going to be? We're afraid you confuse that with when you're not working it and you hit one side, only one side's tamei. Because every mishum shall be shas malach. Okay, when you're not working it, when only one side is tar, you're going to think, no, both sides should be. Because when I was working it, both sides were tahar. So if I'm not working it, what's the difference? We're going to make that mistake. He only hit one. Until you hit both. It comes out the conclusion how we have to deal with things. Lamaisa. There may be cases where you have chibur for tuma. You hit one side, both sides get it. But it won't be a connection for sprinkling. And when you see that, you should know why. That's a rabbinic decree. So it comes out like this. Oh, so for sprinkling, if you hit one side, it's always only going to be good for one side. Even if you're working it. Even if you're working it. Because if you weren't working it, only one side. So always make it one side. It's always one side, no matter what comes out. If you vimatame it, even if you're not working it,
you hit
one side, they're both tame.
Yeah.
Because exer, maybe if you were working it. So it always comes out lamaisa. To be matame, you hit one side, both sides are tame. To matari, you hit one side, only one side is tar, no matter what. Okay, we're going to end it on that happy note.